you just don't realize how much you need to be away until you're away. And we got to have some clear thinking and didn't have to worry about getting up and rush schedules. And the Lord dealt with me about some things. And I would like to bring one of those to your attention tonight. So without holding you up any longer, because you might want to go home and water your grass or finish mowing. James chapter 1, verse 19. The first text I'm going to read in the Amplified, Brother Brad. The rest will be King James. Am I forgetting anything, honey? Chapter 1, verse 19, book of James, it says this: Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear, which means to be a careful and thoughtful listener. Slow to speak, speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger. For the anger of man, which it emphasizes the resentful, deep-seated anger. Anger of man, deep-seated, S-E-A-T-E-D, not S-E-E-D-E-D, deep-seated anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God, which he requires from us. So get rid of all uncleanness and all that remains of wickedness, and with a humble spirit receive the word which is implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, not merely listeners, deceiving yourselves, which is contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he's like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. Once he has gone at himself and gone, looks at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. So I'd like to preach to you, I'll do my best not to keep you long, but I want to preach to you on the topic, examined and innocent. We're going to ask them to pray for us.
Lord, we thank you for this wonderful presence that we feel here right now, and this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord, and most importantly, the opportunity to step into your presence, into your house, Lord, and feed spiritually, Lord, what you have given us, Lord. God, I ask that as pastor preaches the word, Lord, that he does it with excellence and boldness, Lord. God, that your perfect will be done and that we see your glory, Lord. God, open up our ears and our eyes today, God, so we can have our full focus on you, Lord, and we can fully hear and see what you need us to see today, God. Lord, have us be sensitive to your spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. We're going to shift gears in just a moment. But I want you to just for a brief second consider the things that we read to you already. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, for the anger, the deep-seated anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. So get rid of all the uncleanness that remains. Let me say that again. Get rid of all the uncleanness of and all that remains. That means you've probably already begun the job, but finish the job. Because the fact is, when we come to the Lord, there's always things that have to be dealt with as we grow in God. So get rid of the things that remain of the wickedness, and with the humble spirit receive the word which is implanted, and able to save your souls and prove yourselves doers of the word and not just listeners of the word. So for you to apply that text to your life, you'd have to do something. You'd have to take a good hard look at yourself. Chances are nobody came in here tonight and said, well, I've got to get rid of this deep-seated anger that's still in me. Chances are nobody, many of us don't walk around throughout the week and talk about the wickedness that still remains from when I first came out from among them, when I first gave myself to the Lord. And so it requires a careful examination of oneself in order to be able to see the things that we don't just readily see. I've often said It's easy for you to look at the big picture and say, I can see the problems, but it's not easy for us to look at the small details. It's not easy for us to acknowledge some things that we may not even see or realize or understand that are a part of our lives. And I could try to simplify it by saying, you know them by their fruits. That means if you were to take literally what I'm trying to share with you tonight, and you have to pay attention if you're going to get it. If you were to take that literally, then you would say, if I have meltdowns all the time throughout the week, then he's probably preaching to me. If I'm struggling with sin all the time, he's probably preaching to me. If I lose my cool real easily with people, he's probably preaching to me. If I get an attitude when I'm approached about things from whoever, he's probably preaching to me. If I'm always defensive about stuff, he's always preaching to me. See, in my opinion, we're too close to the return of the Lord not to start taking some things seriously. And that's not me insinuating that you don't take this seriously at all. But I would suggest that sometimes we get too comfortable and we get ourselves on cruise control. And
since I was just flying, I'll just give you this little flying tidbit. Oftentimes they get up there, and when you get in cruising altitude, they put that plane on autopilot. That's great. That's wonderful, especially if you're on a long flight and you're the pilot. I got no problem with it.
But sometimes they encounter some things in the atmosphere during that trip that requires them to get off autopilot and take control of the controls. Let me say it again. It is too easy for us to get ourselves in some lethargic state because we are just cruising, especially when you have a schedule. You get up, you go to work, you do this, you come home, you do this. You go to church on Wednesday, you might go to prayer on Friday, you might be in church on Sunday, you may go to two services, you might. And so we get on an autopilot mode we get to the place where we're just cruising and we're not doing any examination of ourselves.
And so let me direct your attention very quickly to Ezra chapter 10. And as you're turning there, we understand why James told us to be quick to hear. May I make a ardery observation tonight? Some of you haven't been quick to hear yet. If you're on your phone, you're not quick to hear anything. If you're turning around looking to see what your buddy's doing behind you, you're not quick to hear anything. Now, I'm not criticizing. I'm just making an ardery observation. Because oftentimes, well, let's just move on past that. And so we can understand what James is talking about here, and he talks about the deep-seated anger of man. With an angry person, it's important to understand that when we're serving God, we try to take control of that and maintain that. But you cannot control what's deep-seated. Only God can get in there and fix some of those deep-seated things that bring about the responses that probably aren't the most godly responses. And that doesn't mean you're an immoral person. But if you're lashing out at people, that's not the response the Lord would want from you. While I was considering this thought that the Lord began to deal with me about, I thought, you know, too many Christians respond in ways that is not becoming of a child of God. Snapping at people, getting angry and immediately frustrated, letting that frustration show. That's what I'm talking about tonight. So when we look at Ezra chapter 10, just verse 16, it reads this way, "And the children of the captivity did so." To give you some very quick background, Ezra had gone back into Jerusalem in order to find and reestablish the word of God, the law, and to read it before Israel, because 70 plus years had passed since the law had been read, and it's supposed to have been read every 7 years. So you've got potential multiple generations that were born without the word, without the law. And so before Nehemiah came back in to rebuild the walls, I could preach to you sleepy folk right now. Some of your problems sometimes is you're trying to rebuild your life, but yet you haven't reinstalled the word of God yet in your life. You can't rebuild a life for the Lord if the word of God does not become the sovereign law in your life. And I heard the message on Sunday. It requires some things. It requires some notes. It requires some study. It requires some leadership. It requires some shepherdship. Because there are things that we cannot see that requires somebody else to see it. Nobody here knows what your back looks like. Oh, I know you might try. But it's a whole lot easier to ask somebody. You ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden you're like, you got something in your teeth. And what do? Oh my God. They start. I hope that wasn't there when I was just talking to someone. Why? Because you can't see everything. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's time that we stop arguing some points and let God bring us beyond some of the hitches in our life so God can continue the perfect work that He's trying to do in our life. So what Ezra comes to this place after he talks to them about putting out, putting away some of the things that they had done that originally pulled them away from God, that brought them to this place where they were now, half in captivity, the other half the remnant, still in a city that had been burned and not yet restored, meaning God hadn't restored anything. And so he comes back and he begins to, in one sense, preach to them. And we find ourselves in this text that says, and the children of the captivity did so, and Ezra, the priest, with certain chiefs of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names were separated. And they sat down in the first day of the 10th month to look at their phone and check their Facebook account. And they sat down to watch a YouTube short. They sat down to send an Instagram picture of what they were eating at the moment. They sat down so they could go ahead and get on there and chat and deal with some political nonsense. No, the Bible says they sat down to examine the matter. We are guilty of receiving the word but doing nothing with the word. That's why James said you've got to be a doer of the word. You can't just be a hearer of the word. When you receive the word, you do something with that word. You don't go home and debate it and bicker it and discuss why it's not applicable to your life. But with open arms, you receive that word into your heart, which now begins the process of change. And so the scripture says, after these years of living in exile and these years of living in ruin and having all these heathens from all over the world living in Jerusalem, it says they sat down to examine the matter. And guess what? It took a preacher to get them to that point. You see, God made it difficult for me to see me because I typically don't like to acknowledge who I am. I try and doctor it up, fix it up. Do whatever I can do to make myself look like somebody that I'm really not. We had a conversation on the way back on the plane, and we've got people all over this world. They're just walking zombies.
I don't say that as a criticism. There's no life in them. There's no joy in them. There's no peace in them. And no matter how hard they try, they keep buying more and more and more stuff, but they're still the same way. And they need somebody to say, this is your problem. And then you've got to say, let me sit down and let me examine this for a few minutes. And then you say, I see now why I'm here in this boat. Not blaming it on everybody else. Not blaming it on, I don't care what somebody did to you. At some point, you've got to take charge of your life. At some point, you've got to say, I'm going to rise above that. At some point, you've got to say, I'm not going to live in this hostage situation for the rest of my life. So they sat down and they examined the matter. So, getting back to you and I, it was designed from creation that we need another to see the things that we can't see. Let me talk to the men just for a second. I know we're big, bad, tough men. You need nobody. You do. A good, honest friend is more important than a gun. I just said it. And I own guns. I carry them. But I'd rather have the voice of somebody in my life than I would a sidearm. I could preach on that, but I won't. Because some of y'all take it too personal. That's probably what I'm talking about. You need to examine that for a few minutes tonight. So this examination is not intended to be a self-abuse session. Now hear me. I'm not asking you to go home and pick yourself apart. You're going to do a good job of that. We're pretty critical of ourselves. An examination is not criticism. When you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I'm here for my yearly exam. He doesn't say, well, the first problem is you're a big fat slob because you're not eating right. If he does, find a different doctor. Now, he might say it in a nice way. I went to a cardiologist a couple years ago. He says, you need to lose some weight. I said, man, that was, but he said a little nicer than that. Okay, thank you. Take it to heart. And so it's not meant to be a self-abuse session, but a good, healthy self-examination to determine myself before I self-corrupt by letting things go unchecked. See, if we're going to bear the title Christian, then we've got to be always growing. And I'm going to talk about that at the end. We've got to always be growing. You cannot, well, let me say it right now. You can't be eating the same spiritual food today that you were eating last year. I was talking to a couple last week, and I told them growth requires different types of food. Let me explain. Anybody sitting here still eat that funky baby food out of jars? I didn't think so. Because as you grow, you got to change your meal. You got to eat differently. You can't keep going back to the same stuff. God gives you milk for a season. Then he gives you some real food. And then he gives you some vegetables. And he gives you some things you don't like but are good for you. As you grow, you've got to change your diet. Your growth must be kept in pace with how you eat. What I'm saying is if you're still on milk like you were a year and a half ago, then there's going to be a problem in your growing process. Maybe a year and a half ago, you couldn't handle somebody talking about where you're living. Well, today, maybe you need to. That's growth. That's what's called. You're off the milk now, honey. You got to start eating some meat. That's why God told Job, pull up your bootstraps, gird up your loins like a man, stop being a baby. Let me talk to you about who I am. That's what God said to him. But let me say again, I'm not asking you to go home and start picking yourself apart. That's not what an examination is. An examination is productive. It's meant to bring forth necessary change so you stay a healthy individual in the kingdom of God, in your relationship with the Lord.
So Israel examined the matter pertaining to their own actions, and they exercised necessary change to bring their lives back into alignment with God.
Now, let me just say this real quick. Am I boring you? Let me just say this really quick. It's really tough, you know, when you're preaching in the, what are we in, the 21st century? I never get that right. It's hard, and here's why. Well, because when Israel sinned, God sent the prophet. No, we get that. We still get the prophets. They prophesy, and we're too dumb to apply it to our lives sometimes. I know that sounds a little tough. But see, then, you know, it's when Babylon comes marching into your town, and they tie your hands behind your back, and they lead you out, you know, reality sets in. But see, our Babylon is spiritual. And so we don't get it unless it literally happens to us. We don't see our hands tied behind our back when our home begins to dissolve right before our very eyes. We don't see our hands tied behind our back when it just seems like everything that we're experiencing every day of our lives is chaos, when there's no peace, when there's no joy. We blame it on moments and things and other people because somebody else is always to blame. And if you just do it differently, I wouldn't be so upset. No. You got deep-seated anger in you because you haven't examined yourself to see where the root of the problem is. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it reads, and the next one will be in 1 Corinthians, Brad. It reads, examine yourselves, watch this, whether you be in the faith. Wait, isn't that obvious? I go to church every Sunday. Oh, can I preach for a second? Some of y'all, you go to church, but you sleep half the time. Maybe you talk a little bit, play some games, you get up and you got to use the restroom three times in the service. You don't have to use the restroom three times. I'm sorry, you can call me mean. Don't call me mean, Hector. But your bladder isn't that bad. Train yourself to hold it. Well, that's just mean. No, that's just reality. Because I'd rather people... Let me move on from that because I can tell that's not being received very well. You know, the number one problem we've heard from visitors over the years in our church is all the commotion in the back. So if you're in the back, I'd be moving up if I were you so you don't get pulled into that mess. The number one thing, people have talked about how friendly our church is, how much they feel the presence of God, but oh my God, there's so much commotion. I've had more people tell me they can't sit in the back because of the commotion than I could even tell you about. Examine yourself. Don't make me examine you. Because if I examine you, and listen, our church has really grown. But when you're up here, you see everything. You see it all. And so he said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Well, I might profess it, but am I in it? Is it in me? Do I apply only what I want, or do I apply all of it? Do I allow it to do a perfect work in my life? Do I make the necessary changes in my life? Prove your own selves. I have to prove myself, nobody. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You got to prove yourself. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I would read that this way. If you're living the life of a reprobate, he's not in you. No, sir, he is not. Or no, ma'am. And so, let's say it this way. Test and evaluate yourself to see whether you are in the faith. No, I'm sorry. Let me read this to you in the Amplified because I really like the way it's worded. So it says, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you're in the faith and living your lives as believers. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself? that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test and are rejected as counterfeit. How many of y'all remember years ago? I know Dan will remember this. I don't know who else was around. We had a disaster of a softball team. And I mean disaster. I don't mean we didn't win. I think we won the championship one year. We just couldn't do it without fighting each other all the time. I mean, literally, we had fist fights on the field. And we had problems. Well, me, just for the record. And somebody decided to come up with the name Sold Out. It mirrored that tap out they use in, what is that, MMA? And it was Sold Out. And so one day, I told everybody, I said, it's Wednesday. I said, where are your churches? Wear your shirts to church tonight. The whole team. And they did. And I preached about false advertisement. I love it. I'm smarter than what you think. See, Tom, you don't want to be wearing a church that says be united in Christ, but yet you don't unite with the body when the doors are open. But you're here. Thank God. I wouldn't have called you out. We don't want to be false advertisers. We don't want to be counterfeit. And so if I'm not to be counterfeit, I don't have to be perfect. I just have to perfect the process of self-examination. So I'm not guilty, but I make it a practice to look at myself more than others and work on me more than everybody else. Just examine yourself. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, when talking of communion, it says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, we've sold this thing wrong. Because the scripture says, how's it worded? If you partake unworthily. And that's very confusing for a lot of people. So let me explain it to you. To examine, it means to test or to scrutinize objectively. So when I'm receiving communion, what it's saying is, while doing this, let me look at myself. While I am reflecting by partaking of this communion, by reflecting on the broken body of Christ, let me also reflect on myself. Let me examine myself. Let me look at myself and just see if there are things I have not dealt with. Meaning, you shouldn't have taken communion on Easter, and then the next time we do communion, you haven't dealt with any of the issues in your life. The whole point of communion is not just to reflect on the broken body of Christ, but it's also to reflect upon me. I'm reminded that He opened the door for me to walk through, and I'm reminded that He made a way of escape for me. So I've got to take it. And while I'm taking that way of escape, I got to look at myself. Anytime anybody, and I won't be much longer, but anytime anybody's ever left church here, there's a lot of them. And that's not because of the church, because people are just hoppers. They're like little bunny rabbits. Go to this church. Let's go to this church. I'll go to this church here. You love it until you get offended and you go to this church. Is it okay to be real? I'm just speaking the truth. But anytime anybody has ever left, as the Lord Jesus Christ is my witness, I've always examined myself and said, God, is there anything different that I could have done that would have prevented this? Is there anything that I may have done that initiated it? Is there anything that I can do differently next time that would stop this from happening again? And I can tell you, for me, I've always pinned the blame on me first, right or wrong. Many years ago, we had a tragedy strike our church. I called Brother Pasley, and the first thing he said to me, don't blame yourself, because he knew exactly what I would do. Because that's what a pastor does. You look at yourself first. Now, I have a question for you. When things are wrong in your home, who do you look at first, yourself or your spouse? yourself or your children. Tracy, I'm sorry. Tracy just looked right over at us. See, I'm up here. I see it all. Can you play softly for me, honey? So who do you look at? Do you blame your kids for your lack of prayer life? Every time I go to pray, my kids are running around like I'm... That's what kids do. Learn how to pray with kids running around. I would be in the choir if it wasn't for... No. Examine yourself. I might want to give more if it wasn't... No. Examine yourself. Well, I just don't agree. Examine yourself. Listen. One thing, I've never done this before because it's not in me, but I am working. I've got pages so far, and that's just mostly scripture. I'm going to work on a series titled "The Beauty of Holiness." The beauty of holiness. It's not a nasty word, and we're going to look at what holiness is. We're not going to label it anything. We're going to look at it, and I may spend a couple weeks on it. Why? Because I don't want to go through life just making up my own ideals of what it means to be a child of God. I would like to examine myself and examine the Word of God and see what I can do to be a better child of God, whatever that means. I told somebody this week, I said, I've tried very hard to find the balance in our generation between making sure anybody walked in this church and felt comfortable, but also making sure they didn't think that they could just continue to live that way, no matter what way it was. That's a hard balance to find. But I believe with God all things are possible. So, let me go back to what I was talking to you earlier. Should a Christian lose control of self? Should a child of God lose control of their temper? Now, what I want you to do is examine yourself, not beat yourself up. Is that the trait of a child of God? Of course it's not. Somebody says something to you. You get frustrated, you get angry, you snap at them. Now, you can leave here and you can say, well, you know, I don't know. Or you can examine yourself and say, man, lose control of your temper. Should a Christian lose control of their emotions? Well, I'm just an emotional person. Stop making excuses for yourself. We're all emotional in some sense. My wife laughs at me all the time. All the time. She did it again. Because I start talking about stuff and I start tearing up. She's like, are you going to cry? No, I'm not. Gavin had his clap out today out of sixth grade. They did their award ceremony. As long as I don't think, I'm okay. But when I start thinking, I turn, I say something, and there come the emotions. And there comes... My wife's been married to me. Are you going to cry? You're a baby. She says it jokingly. We all have emotions in some way. That doesn't mean you can't control them. Responses to situations. Christians shouldn't be getting so upset every time things don't go their way. Oh. I could preach right now. Some of y'all always moaning and groaning about your job. Be thankful you have one. Maybe God should take it away from you. And maybe you might realize how thankful you are. Maybe he should put you in a workplace where they don't give you any liberty or any leeway. If you're a minute late, they penalize you. My wife worked for a place like that. She worked for a place where... If she came in, didn't wear pantyhose, they sent her home. Said, go home, put them on, and then come back. But now she looks back and she says, you know, at least she cared about her workplace, and she cared about making sure the employees cared about what they did, and blah, 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 blah. You got to care. We shouldn't be getting upset every time things don't go our way. Anytime there's a glitch in the plan. Normally we do good, but my God, let our schedule fall apart. You had something planned, all of a sudden it falls apart. Oh my God. You get ready to leave and the child jumps in the mud puddle. I use myself as an example. That way y'all don't get offended at me. Our very first vacation, the church, we didn't go on a vacation until 2012. I still don't like telling this story because I did a lot of examination after this incident. So we went. My kids were younger. We were at a Pizza Hut. And the kids are walking out. And I told Colin, where's he at? Good. I want him to hear this. I told him to watch his younger brother. Well, he went running out, the younger brother, Kevin, did, right in front of a car. And I had to grab him and yank him back. And I'll tell you what, I screamed like a mad banshee. I'm not lying to you. I didn't care. They're all looking at me. I look like a total fool. I left that place. And I felt humiliated for weeks. I thought, you acted like a total fool, an idiot. Here I am, years later, still don't like talking about it. You know what I did? I examined myself. I said, that's not how a Christian handles things. That's not how you handle your children. So, maybe you have nothing to examine yourself about. But I've been examining myself as long as I've been in church. And that's okay. Because I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a good pastor. And so I was examining myself. So, after you're done examining yourself, you have one more request you have to make. It's in Psalms chapter 26, verse 2. So you cannot ask this request until you've examined yourself. Then when you're all done, because we tend to be a little too lenient sometimes on ourselves or a little too hard. So when you're all done, you put in Psalms 26 and 2 up. All right, he's waiting on the computer. Then you say, Lord, you examine me and prove me. Watch this. Try my reins and my heart. So when I'm all done, I'm going to say, okay, God, I know what I think now. But what do you think? David said, prove me. Try me. Prove me. Test me. And then he said, try my reins. Check my direction in life right now. Am I headed the right way? Am I doing the right things? Try my reins and my heart. Do you know why he said that? Because your heart will determine your direction. Your heart will always determine your direction in life. Always. I'm probably boring you. So, tonight, I'm asking you to examine yourself so that you might be innocent of any charges. Not beat yourself up, not work yourself over, but make it a daily part of your life to examine yourself. Examine every situation, how you handle it, how you respond. Examine your prayer life. You could say, God understands, that's our easy out. Or you could say, no, God, am I praying the way I should? If you do a good examination with your prayer life, you probably always come up short because you could always pray more. That doesn't mean you beat yourself up, but you keep pushing yourself. You may have fault. That's not what we're here to talk about. But you've examined yourself and you took it to the altar. You don't come to church angry and leave the same way. You don't come to church with division in your house and leave the same way. You don't come to church not having dealt with things in your life that you know God wants you to deal with and leave the same way. But you have carefully examined yourself. I'll close with one more story. I'm sure I'd already examined myself, but the Lord has examined me a couple times in life without me asking. God examines you at like the worst times too. I mean, he'll catch you when you're completely vulnerable. And some of you have heard this, but the first time God began to examine my marriage was when I came home and we just moved out here and my wife is just, she wasn't handling the move well. It's not a bad thing, it's just a reality. And so she's talking and I was doing what any good husband does. In my head I thought, my God, this is so ridiculous. That's what a good husband does. And then a good God stops you in your tracks. And the Lord stopped me and he said, how come because you think it's ridiculous, does it make it ridiculous? As if your way is the only right way. And I know I say this all the time, but man, when God talks, it's like you can't, you have nothing to say. There's like zero response that's sufficient. And all you can do is you can either get an attitude or you can say, well, I say, God. I thought, that's a pretty good point. Which I hadn't thought about that before. And that was the first time the Lord dealt with me about my marriage. First time. It was how I viewed her frustrations. And I began to examine myself after that. A little more and a little more over the years and more and more and more. And I use those examinations to be a better husband. Now, she'll probably tell you I am the greatest man that has ever walked the earth. But I will tell you, I have a few faults. Tyler's over there thinking, no, my wife has already claimed that title. Some women, you won't even joke, they won't even joke with their husband. No, I'm not even going to joke about that one because you ain't close. I wasn't pointing to you guys over there, just for the record. So, I got to stop, I know, but I just stand if you don't mind. So what I think we ought to do on Wednesday night, before you leave, is I think we ought to examine ourselves. I think if there has been turbulence in your home, I think you should examine your marriage right now. If your spirit has been foul lately, I think you should examine your spirit. If you can honestly say, I've had a terrible attitude, then you should examine your attitude. If you can say, my anger has just completely taken me over lately, then I think you ought to examine yourself. The reason we get ourselves in trouble and keep ourselves in trouble is because we won't do a self-examination. We won't use that to benefit us. So I just want to pray, if you would, so I can stop, if you would just bow your heads. Gracious God, I pray that you would take this thought. And I ask you, Lord, to let it become a battle cry for us. God, to examine ourselves, that I might be a better child of God. I might be a better Christian. That I may show forth the praises of Him who's called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. God, that I could examine my attitude, examine my lifestyle, use the Word of God as an X-ray machine, God. If the Word says it, that's what I'm going to live. If I'm going to be a child of God, a Christian, if I'm going to profess that title, then help me to be a good examiner of myself tonight. That You would be pleased with me, oh God. That I can come before the Lord in prayer and worship God in spirit and in truth. Not just be a spirit-filled child of God, but be an honest child of God. Come before the Lord with honesty. Lord, I want these people to understand tonight they don't need to come with shame or guilt. Just come with honesty. Do a self-examination. Say, Lord, help me in my weaknesses. Help me in my frustrations. Help me, God, in my attitude. Help me in my spirit, God, that I might be a light and not one with a dark bulb in me, but a bright white light. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, let the spirit of self-examination come upon us tonight, that You would be glorified in everything.
I am here for You, to worship You. This moment will not pass me by, 'cause I'm in love with You. In all of You, I'm giving everything. I'm giving everything. This moment that's within, I'm hearing heaven calling me higher than I've ever been. Cannot speak. His presence surrounds me. Oh, yeah. It's indescribable, it's undeniable. I'm trembling 'cause You are near, and I am here for You to worship You. This moment pass me by, 'cause I'm in love with You. In all of You, I'm giving everything. I'm giving everything. The sound of heaven is all around. Hear the mighty rushing wind. All of the people are worshiping, and we fall and rise again. Oh, it's indescribable, It's undeniable. I'm trembling cause you are near. And I am here for you to worship you. This moment will not pass me by. Cause I'm in love with you. Cause I'm in love with you, and all of you, I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything away. And I am here for you to worship you. This moment will not pass me by. 'cause I'm in love with you and all of you. I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything away.
Let me leave it to you this way. How many of you, especially ladies, you ever had lice or you ever had something in your hair or you thought you did, you asked someone to check for you? Raise your hand. On your back, in your wherever. Okay? And they're looking. You're like, look further. You sure? Have you ever done that? Raise your hand. Okay. That's an examination. When you think something is there that shouldn't be because you want to get it out. The whole point of what I'm preaching to you tonight is not for self-condemnation, but to look at yourself and see if there's something that you don't see that shouldn't be there that God wants you to deal with. I'll give you one more story of mine, then they're going to come and pray for us and close. Going back further, when Colin was a baby, it's a miracle he's as good of a kid as he is, because I screwed it all up. I ain't kidding you. He was about 6 months old. And when my wife would work and I'd be home, I worked, just for the record. I wasn't one of these lazy bum men who sit home and play video games. Just saying. And the bouncy seat was my favorite friend. I thank God for the bouncy seat and the swings. She would get mad at me, but I probably left him in there too much. So one day he's in the bouncy seat. He's just crying and crying. I couldn't stop him. I'm shaking it, you know, trying to rock it. Nothing would stop. I finally got up off the couch and I picked him up. I said, "My God, what?" I picked him up. And his eyes were closed. He jumped. And it broke my heart. And so I began to examine myself more. That's how people hurt their children, because they're frustrated and don't know what to do. And I never wanted my kids to ever be afraid of me, because I grew up with some fear. I never wanted that. So what I'm saying is, use your life's examples and examine yourself, and don't be afraid to, because you will only be better for it. God will, He will mold you into what you want Him to mold you in. The person you desire to be for the Lord is what will happen when you learn to make it a habit of examining yourself. Amen. Brother Troy, come pray for us and close.
Would you lift your hands and call on the Lord one more time? Lord God, we thank you for this message tonight. God, we pray that you help us to take it home with us and apply it to our spirits. We pray that you keep it in the forefront of our minds at all times, to constantly be examining ourselves, to constantly be looking at ourselves and wondering if we're the children of God that you've called us to be, if we're the Christians that you've called us to be, to look into our hearts, for God to reveal things to us, Lord God, that we need to deal with, that we need to confront. Hallelujah, God, that He would stir our hearts and our minds and reveal things and bring things to the surface that we need to address, so that we can be every day better children for Him and better examples for Him, because we are His examples in the earth. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this word that you've given us through our shepherd. We pray that you bless him for delivering it. We pray that you touch each and every one of us, touch our minds, give us strength, and let us leave here encouraged to examine ourselves, not to beat ourselves up, and leave here different than we came, in a better mood than we came, forgetting what we may have brought into this place or what we may have dealt with before we came into this house tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.